Well, in the middle of the month, we like to catch up with our local historian, Chris Robinson, who joins us today. Chris, welcome.
Afternoon, Tim.
Now, always good to see you. And we're going to talk about the Mayflower, but with a twist.
Yes, because this time, in 1620, it was on its way back. So it left on the 5th of April, I think, and got back 5th or 6th of May. So
see, it's never even occurred to me that it came back. I sort of thought they just went there and stayed and created the nation of America. But that's not it, is it?
No, because the ship was the hired ship, really. You know, they were just transporting the pilgrims, although right. They didn't use that term pilgrims for about 100 years afterwards.
Well, I just looked in the book that you've brought in, and it described them as political nonconformist fugitives.
Yes, because they didn't even use the term Puritan for that particular section of people at that time. So, we think of them as being pilgrims, but they certainly didn't call themselves pilgrims.
No.
But they were taken out there. A lot of them struggled in the first few months, actually, and there was a lot of sickness about, and it wasn't a particularly good winter either. So there was a struggle generally, and the crew struggled. So that's why it was so long, from sort of November to April, before they were ready to come back again. And only about half the crew were there. So they'd lost quite a few people through death over the winter,
right?
And so it was not exactly dodgy, but yeah, and they must have been worried about how easily they'd get back. But as it transpired, they got back very quickly. It took them about a month, yeah. Whereas it had taken them considerably longer, 8 weeks or so, to get out there in the first place.
So if we accept the fact that the pilgrims, as we call them, were far from being that, and they just disappeared over the horizon, and then nobody in this country really knew anything for a considerable period of time, maybe, you know, 8 or 9 months, would it be?
No, and for about 500 miles in any direction, there were no other attempts at settling. So there wasn't any other white people out there that they could go to. And I think the next ship arrived there in November 1621. So they were there for a whole year without communicating, really.
But the Mayflower itself came back. Did it come back to Plymouth?
No. I mean, it had only called into Plymouth by accident, really, because the Speedwell wasn't well. So it went back to its home, which was around Harwich. Christopher Jones, who was the captain, had ideas, actually. He quite fancied the idea of going back and throwing in his hand with the settlers and for getting 100 acres of land, because they all got quite a bit of land each, and trying to make a go of it. But sadly, he died in 1622, possibly as a result of what was passing around when he'd been over in the States, not that it was called the States at that time. And the Mayflower appears to have just rotted, actually. It did one more commercial trip that we know about.
Yeah.
But in 1624, I think it was broken up. And there is a guy from Plymouth called Rendell Harris, who was an academic and a very much an ecclesiastical scholar. And he lectured in Leyden for a while, which is where the pilgrims left from, or a substantial part of them. And his theory is that there's a Quaker hall in Chalfont St. Giles, which is built out of the timbers of the Mayflower.
Oh, goodness me.
And it's called the Mayflower Barn.
Yeah.
There's a certain amount of dispute as to whether that's right or wrong, but there's no dispute to the fact that it's actually built out of the timbers of an old ship, and it would have been contemporary with the Mayflower.
Wow. Now, just, I want to sort of try and get a bit more understanding of how the pilgrims, as we call them, were perceived here. So when the Mayflower came back a year later, or whatever it was there a great deal of interest from people as to what's happened to these people, or did it not really affect them? Were they not interested?
Well, the interesting thing there is, when would anybody in Plymouth have got in Plymouth here have got to have found out about it? Because if the ship, the Mayflower, went back to the Thames, then, you know, how would news filter through about how did that party, as you were asking me, get on?
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, actually.
And did they really care? I mean, you know, for us, of course, it's hugely significant time in history, and for anyone from America, obviously. But at that time, was it just another thing that was going on that sort of passed people by, I wonder?
I guess news would have gradually filtered back. But it's like when Drake came back in 1580 from his 3 year circumnavigation of the world, and the first thing he wanted to know before he even docked in the harbour was, is the Queen still alive? Because if she wasn't, he could have been in a whole lot of trouble if a Catholic had taken over the throne, because he'd been pinching money and goods and ships from the Spanish for years.
And therein lies another story.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so to come back to the Mayflower, let's just remind everybody that there is a plan, isn't there, for 2020, for the 400th anniversary, to have the American president here. And of course, we don't know who that will be yet.
Well, I think all American presidents, I understand, are being invited, old and new. But we don't know whether that will happen. But certainly there's going to be massive celebrations because it's 400 years.
Well, we'll talk about this, I'm sure, a great deal between now and then, Chris.
Indeed.
Thank you for coming in. Great to see you.
Cheers, Tim.